Oh, man. Do you understand who you are? Do you understand who we are? And when the devil hates it because he's powerless against it. If he can get you to think about the do's and the don'ts and the rules and the regs, then he can get you condemning yourself because you don't keep them, don't even think you know what they are, right? But when you get free of that, you begin to let the Spirit of God start showing you, writing it in your hearts where you hear his voice and you know it's true, he's gone. He's got nothing. There's nothing he can do against that except try to do what he did to Paul all the time, try to organize other people to stone him. It's okay. We're good, okay? And that's what happens when we look at the world around us. I said, the glorious church, okay? When we look at what's going on in our country, especially in our country and in Europe, it's been going on in the East for a long time. Why do they hate? Because of Jesus. They don't even know why, what Julie said, right? But the enemy, that's all he can do. All he can do is try to stir up people against it. Because he doesn't have any power against it, because all of his power has been taken away from him, and now it's been divested into men. Men are the ones that the earth was created for and given dominion over, and the enemy lost his dominion, so he's got to get men to try to do something against, quote, the church, against the believers, against the children of God, who are filled with this knowledge of the mystery of God, who have the totality of divine powers dwelling in them, having been filled with it, because they have come to experience the love of Christ, the purposeful goodwill of God. Y'all, hallelujah, that's why Jesus came. Yes. You know, I can preach this, right? It's like, oh my goodness. Oh, where are we? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Praise God. Where am I? The RK, that's where we are. This word is tough. If you paid any attention to Greek, as far as scripture is concerned, you know what I'm talking about. This word RK, A-R-C-H-E, if you're looking at it in English, okay? This word, they say that the depth of the word, properly it's beginning or even origin. How, okay. And yet it's translated rule or ruler. Several places, in a couple translations, it's translated prince. Often in the King James, the New King James, and I believe the English Standard, usually translate it principality. Okay, let me get this straight. I want to look at the definition of this word. Because Jesus is, and I'm in the 10th verse, 2nd chapter of Colossians. He is the head of all arche and exousia. Exousia is authority, okay? But what is this and authority? What is RK? Principality. If you go look up a definition of principality in English, the word means a state or an office of a prince. That's the definition. Like, they have these things in Europe, like, you know, you got a country, but maybe you got a state kind of like what we have, but then you have this area. In fact, you could, you know, like you could say Metro Atlanta, okay? It's not Georgia. It's all of Fulton County, but it's also other counties. But it's way past just being Atlanta. It's, you could call that a principality. It's an area that's outside, or you could even say contained in. For instance, in this case, the state of Georgia, right? Okay, how do you translate that into Jesus being the head of it? And how does that make it a rule or a ruler? It's a principality. He is the head of all of those areas that are contained within the heavens, the kingdom of God, right? Help me, Lord. Let me paint this picture, okay? Basileia is kingdom, okay? And we've stressed this over the years. We're not talking necessarily about a physical thing at all. Basileia is the realm or rule of the authority of a king, okay? The realm or rule or authority of a king. The kingdom of God, Jesus is the King of Kings. But he's also the Lord of Lords. Well, those the same thing? Maybe, but not necessarily at all. Within this principality idea, within the kingdom that Jesus is the King of, there are areas or principalities, things. Again, we're not necessarily talking about a physical geographical location. We're talking about the kingdom of the heavens, right? There are places set up where there are princes. And we see this in Ephesians 6 with regard to what we would mostly consider demonic things, but it talks about principalities and powers and rulers of the wickedness of this world, the spiritual wickedness of heaven, and the places, right? The cosmos out there, okay? However, the kingdom of God is not just those things. That's the kingdom of darkness that although mostly powerless, still is sort of out there, right? They still try to set up these things in the heavens that influence the things on the earth. We see that a lot right now in the Middle East, okay? So when it said Jesus is the head of all, he is the head. He is the overlord. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who is the king over all of the kings of the earth, right? He's also head over all of those, quote, lords, those princes who are over those, quote, principalities that are contained within the kingdom. So you get that picture there. And once you get the picture clearly in your mind, I know it affects my faith. Hallelujah. Because I begin to get his faith. I'm seeing what he's saying. Principalities and authority. Because in order to accomplish anything, you have to either have authority or be usurping authority. Otherwise, you can't get anything done. So all of the authority belongs to him. That's why he said, I've got all the authority, then you go and take care of business, right? He didn't say, I'm giving it all to you, because then he wouldn't have it. He's just saying, because I have it, you're in me, let's go, okay? However, the enemy is out there doing his best to try to usurp that authority by getting people to not agree with the king.